Boy, that young bunch up here sang and put me in a bad spot. Me and Brother Barnett and Brother Wheeler was going to sing that song. Brother Savage is going to play the piano for us. But, you know, now they've already ruined it by letting you know what it's really supposed to sound like. When old Jonathan come off the platform, I told him, I said, I can't even think that fast, let alone sing that fast. It's wonderful. Boy, I'm glad to see you. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. You know, get to call my wife after church, telling me set out chairs. Of course, ain't very many folks in some of them, but I don't have to tell her that. You know, you don't have to tell her how many they set out. But it's wonderful. Appreciate you. Glad to see you. It was really a... glad to be here in the service this morning and hear Brother Gabbard preach and hear Brother Barnett preach. And I slipped back there and had the boys make me one of Brother Gabbard's tapes, CDs, to take back home. I'd like for my church to hear some of that. And since, you know, it's cheaper if I just steal it than bring him out there. So, you know, I'll talk to him about that one of these days. But Brother Barnett, wonderful service last night. You know, I really appreciate. I mean, God is staying in a wonderful place, and eating the there's a lot. There's a lot that goes on in these meetings that you don't know anything about. You know what I thought about last night during the service, as wonderful as things was? No offering. I thought about that. And I didn't think about that for me. I thought about that for us back home, that sometimes just one offering makes all the difference in the world in my facial expression at the end of a fellowship meeting. You know, makes all the difference in the world. And we host these meetings. And we're thrilled to do that for individuals, but you know, the cost of things and I want to tell you something about our meetings. I'll just drop this on you right quick, since nobody's running the aisles right now anyway. I noticed something. I noticed it in our fellowship meeting, and I've noticed it in a bunch of different places. I mean, last year at Bristow, the day services, they'd moved it to a different facility, and Some day services, there wasn't as many as in here tonight in the morning service at Bristow. And normally that place, you know, and it's just a little change in the air and stuff like that. And some folks aren't given to change. But I tell you something I've been noticing the spirituality level of our people is declining. In our area, back over in Missouri, we have wonderful fellowship, get along with everybody. But even this year, I went to mention to Patricia, I said, sweetie, did you notice that so-and-so wasn't here this year? Yeah, they're always here. And so-and-so wasn't here. And in this group, you wasn't here. And you know, it has nothing to do with anything other than the spirituality level of people are in decline. And if you happen to decide between mowing your yard just before church time and getting to a night of fellowship meeting, the yard usually wins out because we're at a low spiritual level and we're already stressed out. It's that level. And, you know, contrary to some folks' opinion, that level affects a church service. I don't know why them singers didn't sing. They were. Their guts out, in fact. Well, I don't know why that choir, they did. Their guts out, in fact. I don't know, boy, he didn't have it tonight. Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yes, he had it. Oh, yes, he did. It's that spiritual level that is in great decline. And, you know, we attribute it to the gas prices and all the stuff that's going on. And I understand gas prices are high, you know. I drove away from three stations, had cops running me up and down the road. Gas prices are high. I'm kidding you. Gas prices are high. They are. But, you know, everything is high, and we're still doing all that. Yes, My wife has been looking at a telephone here lately. She's fixing to make the big upgrade. I did too. I went from a flip phone to another flip phone. Hallelujah. I can work it. Can you work yours? But my wife, she's been looking at one of these telephones, and I was looking at it the other day, and I was saying to myself, I could buy a pistol. I could buy a handgun for the price of this phone and steal somebody else's phone. I can't figure, you know, but we still managed to do. Okay, I have got your excitement level now. I want to read something to you. I'm going to be over in the book of Revelation. And, you know, it's really strange. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I just want to read one word, so you're going to have to skip the first seven and all of the rest of them that follow it, even though it's in there another time or two. But I want to read this to you. I saw this in a book the other day. Man, it just grabbed me. I wished I'd have wrote it. I heard him call, follow me. That was all. The world grew dim, and I went after him. I arose and followed. That was all. Who would not follow if they heard that call? You like stuff like that? I heard him call, come follow. I rose up. I did. That was all. Who would not follow if they heard that call? Let me read this to you. Here's my text. You ready? Revelation chapter 22. Last book back there. Last chapter. There before the concordance. This is what it says in verse number 17. Skip the first seven words. Come. Revelation 22:17. Skip that first few words. The Spirit and the Bride say, skip that. And just hit that one word there. Come. I heard him holler, come follow. And that was all. The world grew dim. I followed him. I rose and followed. That was all. Who would not follow if they heard that call? There's a lot of, I know Brother Randy, you know, tried to put me and him in the normal category the other night around here. But there's a lot of strange things in this world. There's a lot of strange things in nature. But there's a lot of strange things, strange colors and strange instincts and strange creatures. And, you know, there's a thread of strange running down humanity. There's some strange people in here tonight. There is. You married one of them. You did. And I'm sorry, sir. You should have prayed about it. I'm kidding you. You married one of them. There's some strange young folks in here tonight. Strange. You know, I think that in the Catholic Church that the Pope dresses strange. I think that funny hat that he wears, I think that he would be more beneficial with a trash can on his head. Strange. My wife asked me not again about how that service went, and I said, it went really good. She said, you really did put a trash can on your head? I said, I really did. And I said, ended up with a hairnet because the green gum in there stuck for a little bit. But there's some strange folks, strange customs. Stranger, there are people in this room tonight. Let me tell you how strange they are. You want me to? I'm going to tell you. There's people in here tonight that does not like buttermilk. Do you? Jonathan, you like it? You don't like it? You're strange, son. Strange. It's strange. Man, sometimes you get that buttermilk when it's really been sitting there a long time. You only have to swallow once. It just kind of, you know what I mean? Strange. There's strange folks around here. strange eating. I went through the grocery line the other day at our in town. There, I had a bag of cat food and a half a gallon of buttermilk. And I flopped it up there on the counter. That girl took one look at it, and I said, they tell me that that buttermilk soaks up this cat food better for breakfast than regular milk. She really looked strange. She looked at me like I was abnormal. But, you know, we got some bizarre notions. There's some bizarre notions in religion. There are folks that actually believe that if you'll sprinkle a little glass on the steps and climb up the steps on your hands and knees, that you are doing something beneficial for your spiritual. There are people, there are cultures in society that believe that if you drink cow's blood, you are a spiritual person. Strange. Now, they're not straight. They'd look at me and say, you drink buttermilk? Why would you drink buttermilk? I look at them and I wonder, you know, what AB positive, what kind of thrill you get out of a glass of that? Strange. You hear me? There's some strange people in this world. And they you know, down in the South Pacific, they're sure that if you'll kill a shark or catch a shark and pull his teeth out and put them around your neck, that you'll be warded off for evil spirits the rest of your life. And, you know, I don't know if that works or not, but it's just strange. Then there's folks that, I mean, for religious purposes, they scar their flesh. They think that scars and marks on their flesh, and all this is in the guise of religion. And so don't think you've been raised Pentecost, and you've been raised holiness. And if some lady tonight had shouted her hair down and hit you with about 27, I don't even know if they use bobby pins anymore, may be using duct tape, but if they hit you with 27 bobby pins, what you would say is, I've seen that before. I said, but there's some folks that hadn't seen that before. I mean, if you was over there in one of them cow services where they're drinking blood and went to shouting, they'd probably dose you in some of that. Strange. Some of our things. We had a couple visit our church a while back, him and her, and they sat in the back and they looked uncomfortable. And when I can tell somebody's visiting us for the first time and they look uncomfortable, it runs through my mind. Maybe we ought not just get too loud, you know, because there's some folks that they're already paranoid about us. But that night, the power fell and folks went to running. And I'm telling you what, that guy jumped up. I thought he's going to run with them. He grabbed her and out the door, and we ain't never seen him since. And I mean, I'm not proud about that, but I guarantee you when they got outside, the first thing that they said was, they're strange. You know, strange. I know. But it's also strange to me that as complicated as we make religion, I had some visitors come a while back, sat by Jessica. She works with them at the doctor's office. And when they left, the lady said, my daughter loves that church. She said, we would go to church there all the time. But I told my little daughter, they have too many rules. And Jessica stopped her in mid-sentence and said, we don't have any rules. Those aren't rules. Those are convictions. Those are things that we believe. She said, you don't have to do those things to come to our church. You don't have to do those things. I'm telling you what, I would invite a multitude of strange people into our church. And they couldn't be in the choir and couldn't teach Sunday school class. A couple of them probably qualify to be a deacon because the two I got's pretty strange. I'm kidding you. But are you getting this, that there's a lot of strange things? And it's so complicated. When I was evangelizing, I'm telling you what, when I was evangelizing, I couldn't just think about preaching. I had to think about where I was at. If you're in this area, you and if you're over here in this area, now you can't do that because these folks, they don't do this on Sunday. So you'd there was so many things that I got. I almost had to keep a list of our independent holiness movement and what is expected of you from one area to the next. And some of that stuff ain't nothing but strange. Some of it ain't enough Bible to blow the fuzz off a peach. Some of those things are just strange. But let me tell you what's really strange. I'm going to tell you. I ain't going to be up here all night. I'm going to tell you what's strange. This is what's strange. As simple as God makes it for you to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have sat for years without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now that's strange. As simple as God makes it for you to get the victory over prescription medication that's eating us up from the inside out, doctor to doctor, pharmacy to pharmacy. What's amazing is how simple God has made it for you to get the victory over that. That's what's amazing. We're not putting broken glass on the steps. We're not telling you that you got to go take a cross and drag it all the way into rich lands. We're not telling you you got to take your last $20 bill and toss it in an offering. We're not telling you. I'm telling you, there's a lot of holiness folks that wouldn't make good Catholics. They couldn't go through Lent. They couldn't give up some of the things that those Catholic folks give. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They could not do it. Because to them it would be too hard and too difficult and too strenuous. Some folks can't even give up a meal. Or some folks can't even, hello. And what's really amazing is how simple God has made this service tonight for you to give up chewing tobacco. Or smoking. Or pornography. Or an internet out of control. What is amazing is how difficult, how last night in this service, I tell you, God has a backup plan. He always has. And sometimes I'll be at Calvary and I'll just say, boy, it's amazing. The choir just sung exactly in line with what I was fixing to preach. Last night in this service, this text was what I was going to preach on. Before anything was ever said or done, Brother Barnett walked up behind his pulpit and gave you my title in his opening remarks. Would you come? Would you come? It absolutely addled me back there. Would you come? And so I said to myself, whoa, you talk about on the right train. Me and Brother Barnett's on the right train. And the next thing I knew, Brother Webb was up here. Would you come? Are you here? Would you come? And I'm telling you, God had a backup plan that if them guys had missed it, I'm still going to get up here and give somebody a simple solution to your complicated problem. All you got to do is get up and come. That's all you got to do. You don't have to give blood. You don't have to have the DNA checked. You don't have to take an Ativan to lay in an MRI tube while they pound over your head while they're making sure you even have a brain. We're not giving CAT scans. In fact, some of us are allergic to cats. We're not taking your blood pressure. We're not inoculating you. We're not going to give you a shot for the flu. We're not going to give you a shot for Addison's disease. We're not going to give you nothing. All we're going to do is tell you a simple solution. He called me, come follow. That was all. I got up. The world grew dim. I followed him. He called me to come. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't when they heard that call? I mean, there's just something about that simple word that's in this scripture. I know it's a drawing word, and I know it's a magnetic word, but it's also a heavenward word that gets our minds off of something else onto something extremely necessary. And that is the condition of your spiritual life. I'm not just talking to sinners in here. I'm not just talking to some of the nicotine individuals. I'm not talking about the poor. I'm not talking about child molesters. I'm talking about this entire congregation, because every one of us could find the peace that passeth all understanding. But sometimes you've just got to get up and admit that you have a need. That's all he wants to see you do, is admit that you got a need. Now hide behind your long sleeve shirt. Wear it all the way down to your knuckles. If you ain't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have a need. Come into this church, hair piled 27 feet high. You ain't had a pair of scissors in it since you was born. But if there's a division or something inside of your heart, if there's the spirit, are you listening to me? You have a need. You can carry the biggest Bible in this church that can possibly fit on anybody's coffee table. The biggest Bible that you could possibly find. But if you don't read it and you don't live it, you have a need. Don't everybody jump up and shout at once. I mean, there's something about the vocabulary of Jesus, and I know it. I've read it. You've read it. You've heard some of the instances where he could command death and where he could command life. You've heard of all those instances, but there is not a word in this Bible that has such a suggestion as that little four-letter word that says, come. In fact, God thought it so necessary for us to hear that word that even at the end of all of it, at the end of the Word of God, he looks and he says, I mean the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Now listen, it was a storm. The disciples were in it. They were afraid. Is it a spook? On the water? Is it a ghost coming walking across there? And then the words came out. And Brother Savage, we preached about them words. Woo! It is I. Be not afraid. But old Peter, standing there on that boat, all this going on, all this wind, all this waves and everything, something grabbed a hold of him. And he said, boy, I'm not sure if I like this or not. Let me take it a step farther. And Peter said within himself, I remember that man, the way he can say, come, it's a calming thing. So Peter said, hey, if it's you, I want to hear that word. I want to hear that word that I've heard so many other times that really brings peace, not to the storm, but to the heart. And Jesus told Peter, come, come. When Jesus first stepped on the scene and folks thought that he was out of his mind and out of his league, some of John's followers walked up to him. I mean, Jesus had a confrontation of religion right off the bat. And all he said was, you come follow me. You won't know if this is right. You come follow me. Now, I'm going to tell you something right here and right now. If you are following the country music charts, you are absolutely, absolutely defiling the very temple that God intended for you to be. If some of you boys are only following the skirt length of the young ladies in this world, and some of you young ladies are only following the tightness of the boys' clothes, or some moms and dads are only following the soap operas of the television, or following after the screens on the internet, you are defiling the very temple that God has purposed to be holy and righteous. And the only way you're going to get out of that is to come follow. It's the only way. Sounds like you're giving an altar call. I'm giving an altar call. I'm giving an altar call. Would you come? Thou hast asked a hard thing. No, I haven't. No, I haven't. If I said, pick up the man sitting in front of you and carry him up here and show that you really need God, that would be a hard thing. Or if I said, it'll cost you $100 to get the Holy Ghost, that'd be a hard thing. But for me to stand up here in this pulpit and tell you that you can get delivered by just coming, that you can get delivered of demons by coming. Well, I tell you, I can't get my wife to come. I can't get my husband. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how God makes allowances for that and allows you to be a free moral being, and you don't have to rely on anybody else to make your decision. All you got to do is get up and come. That's all you got to do. Now, how deep is that? How tough is that? Why would I be aware of hell pounding in opposition? This little four-letter word that I'm throwing at you tonight from behind this pulpit. Why would I be aware that hell would allow a rock concert biting the head off of bats and snakes, and that God, that the devil would allow country western concerts where they strip down and don't wear enough clothes hardly to water a shotgun? And yet in a church with this many good folks, hell would fight over one little word called come. And the reason is, brother, sister, hell knows that if you'll follow that word, you can leave this building changed. You don't need a 12-step. Smoke a glass cigarette. No smell of tobacco. You don't need a nicotine patch. You need to come. You don't need to leave your wife. You don't need an affair. You just need to come. You don't need to quit this church, our brother Mike's church, our brother Shannon's church. You don't need to quit. You don't need to change churches. You just need to get up out of that seat and come down to this altar and find out what happens now still happens, just like it did the first time that you came down to the front. It's an amazing thing, but people still get the baptism just like they always did. People still get saved just like they always did. It's a tighter age. It's a harder age. It's a tougher age, and hell has backed us up into a corner, and we feel like we've had a good service if we feel a little doodad here or there. I ain't talking about doodads. I'm talking about revival, homes that are saved, young people that are holy, preachers that have the power and the anointing of God. And I'm telling you, it all happens when you get up and come into His presence. My dad was a member of the Masons for years. A member of the Masons. I don't know enough about them to even talk about them, other than I'm about as impressed with some of the secret societies as I am the Ebola virus that's running rampant over in Africa right now. I'm not the least bit impressed by it. But you know, my dad didn't go through a 27-step withdrawal from the Masons any more than he went through a 27-step withdrawal from drinking. My dad didn't go through a 27-step withdrawal from coming in the house of a night, taking the coffee cups out of the cabinet, busting them in the sink. I'd hear him in there. I'd hear the racket in there and knew that my dad was on another terror. He didn't have a 27, none of those things. One night, out in the woods, fox hunting, he got under conviction. He drove into town, got the pastor up, and prayed through at Brother Vernon McClellan's couch in the middle of the night. You know what Dad did? He come. That's all he did. Well, I'm telling you, I'm biting my fingernails off right now. Then you need to come down to this altar right now. But you know, understand. And I understand it even more than you know. I understand that if you continue sitting there, you're going to continue being troubled by that outcome in life. You have to get up and put it behind you. Okay, boys, I know it would cut down a little bit on the muddy-toed cow manure-covered boots that we like to come in the house of God. I know. Swagger in like we're some kind of UFC fighter and just dare somebody to say something to us. Well, you know, I really probably wouldn't want to meet you in a dark alley in the middle of the night with an attitude like that. I'd just have to go ahead and lay down and just let you beat the snot out of me. But I'm going to tell you something. You can get that stinking spirit out of you if you'd come. Yeah, you could. Some of the young ladies that have attached themselves to every magazine between here, California, and Paris, every kind of fashion that comes out on the scene, you could get that attitude out of you if you get up out of that seat and come. I'm telling you, there are preachers tonight that walked among us and preached among us. Now they know how to touch the pulpit. Now they know how to stand, roll their Bible. Now they know how to be a present and a force in front of everybody and put on the same show outwardly that they've been putting on inwardly for a long time. All they need to do is get up, come to this altar, and tell God, I need to follow a little closer. I need them to... Do you notice that? How wild we got over the girls and the guys and how quiet we got when I mentioned preachers. Did you think that this was a message only to the lost? Fooey. Did you think that this text that I took tonight was just because there was some devil-possessed reprobate sitting in the house of God that's got his eyes on the little six-year-olds? No! I got a message for the church. And the message is this. If you need something with God, come. I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You got two choices. You can either come or you can leave. I need the Lord to save my marriage. You got two choices. You can either sit there and act like you don't have a problem, or you can get up and come to this altar and let God solve the problem. Oh, boy. Even though some of you look like you're going to make me, I'm not going to be up here all night. I mean, his word to the world, his word to the church. I mean, that boy that walked up to him and they said, I've been keeping the commandment since my youth up. I've been raised this way. Jesus said, sell what you got, come and follow me. Now, how simple was that? But he just couldn't turn loose. He couldn't turn loose of what he had to turn loose of in order to follow him. And you cannot play a double-sided coin in holiness, serving God. It makes you a hypocrite. You cannot present yourself as an upstanding, stalwart man of God over the community and have such a raging, ugly heart and testimony that hell considers you one of his best friends. You can't do that. You have to get rid of the one in order to follow the other. And that's why Jesus says, come. He didn't tell the boy to put it on the market. He didn't tell him to put it on Angie's List. He didn't tell him to put it on Craig's List. He didn't tell him to put it on eBay. He didn't tell him how to get rid of it. But he did tell him how to have the victory. Come. So I'm not going to tell you what you have to do to get back to what you really need. But I am going to tell you what heaven says. It ain't ever going to start until you come. Well, I tell you, last night I felt like Brother Barnett missed it. At what point? The point that he walked up here? Or the point that he started looking at us saying, would you come? Are you here? Would you come? Well, I felt like he missed it. He walked off that platform and walked out there among those pews and made me feel uncomfortable when he walked by. What part of that did you think he missed it? Well, I tell you one thing, Brother Hyde didn't get to preach. Woo! And tonight we see exactly why Brother Barnett didn't miss it. He should have took it over again tonight. I'm telling you, that little word, it's all it. I really feel down in, I got to be careful here about this, keep this CD here in my mind right here. There is a, it's a true story. There's a lady in holiness that for a long time was in and out of the altar. She'd come, she'd get up, she'd get in and out of the altar battling over-the-counter medications. Why am I on that? I'm telling you, it's just a, this strange thing, but I'm going to stay there until we go eat. She kept coming down to the altar. And one night in a service, I can't remember if it was a camp meeting service or a revival service, but one night in a service, she got up and the invitation was given and she came down to the altar. And that altar that night, now you listen, that altar that night, she said, Lord, I don't just want you to deliver me. I want you to tell me that you've delivered me tonight. Sister Karen Tabor, she is one of the finest ladies. If you ever meet Sister Karen Tabor, she is true blue, prayer warrior, non-exaggerating to the point of almost being so true that you could set your compass by what she said. She walked down that night to pray with that lady and felt a check and stopped. She said over at the side of the church while that lady was praying. And Sister Tabor said, I really wanted one to pray for me. I came down there for them to pray for me. But she said, I just kept feeling like I shouldn't move. And I'll just stand there while they're praying for this lady. And she said, in a little bit, the Holy Ghost fell on me, and she said, I just stepped out and said, I don't even know who this lady is. I don't know anything about her, but I know the Holy Ghost just told me to tell her that she's been delivered tonight. How'd that happen? That lady came down to the altar, and God not only done it, but he confirmed it. Because he's in the business of setting people free when they want to come. Well, he gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost right back here on this back pew. The reason you're back there is you probably got so much pride already, you wouldn't sit on the front pew. He's not going to give you the Holy Ghost back there, not till you come. I need my healing. I need mine. Sister Savage needs hers. My wife needs hers. We've got a lymph node that we need removed off of a carotid artery before we have to go in there and get it on our own. We have a need. We have a need. And you know what we've been doing? You know what we've been doing in the May Fellowship meeting? You know what we've been doing every service? You know what we're doing tonight at Calvary? Would you like to be at Calvary right now? Would you like to be there? Let me tell you what we're doing at Calvary. I asked my wife, I said, honey, I know you're weak and you don't even feel like being there, but do you feel like you could step up there behind that pulpit and invite people just to have a move of prayer tonight around this altar? And she said, I've been in my office today already studying, felt like God had laid something on my heart. Now I'm going to tell you something right here and right now. She is walking on the grounds of faithfulness coming unto him. And I mean, there's never been anything that's been able to stand the force of heaven when somebody with a contrite heart comes into his presence. And brother, sister, I'm thrilled that you're here, and I'm glad that you're here. And if you're here just to hear me preach, congratulations. I'm probably knocking that out of you right now. But if you came in here because you had a need, you're not going to get it in the parking lot. You're not going to get it at the concession. You're going to get it met when you get up. Walk down that aisle into his presence and tell heaven, I don't care who knows, who doesn't. I don't care who's watching and who ain't. When Brother Barnett got done last night and he got done today, I told Brother Randy Webb, I said, I am such a failure as a pastor that I ought to go home after this meeting and resign and go back to evangelizing, except I was such a failure in evangelizing that I don't think it'd do a bit of good for me to do either one. That's what I told him. I was in humor, but I was also in heartache because I recognized that sometimes even me, I need to come. I need to get in his presence. I need to get in his presence. You hear me? At the May Fellowship meeting. Now listen, I know you're just wore out, and I'm sorry. Okay. At the May Fellowship meeting again is another one of them nights, and folks started coming. I mean, Tracy didn't get a preach, and his girls didn't get to sing, and everything. Woo! You talk about rattle some people's cages. We was having one of them kind of prayer lines. I mean, just one of them prayer lines, and I was just saying to myself, oh, God! If my little wife, I said, oh, God, if my, here comes Sister Tabor again, standing right over there in that same pew. Oh, God, I said, oh, God, if you could just come out of here while we're praying for these folks. And I heard a racket and up there on the platform. My sweetheart was just a-dancing. She's a-holding on to one edge of that organ. She was just a-dancing. She was just a-dancing. I'm telling you, I put that picture in my mind. She was just a-dancing. And when she felt enough strength that she could, she walked down off that platform. You know what she did? She went to praying for other folks down there who needed help. Listen to me. We was praying for Bobby Ryan. The Holy Ghost was falling. There was a power everywhere. Sister Tabor said something happened in the service. She stood and told it the next night. She said, well, I was standing over there in the service. She said, I saw a shadow. She said, I saw a shadow come in the side of this. She said, I watched that shadow. She said, I knew it was the presence of God. I watched. She's not a kook. She's a good lady. She's a good lady. That power, she said, I watched it. It went right over the top of Brother Bobby Ryan. And she said, the minute that shadow got over Sister Height, she said immediately, Sister Height gave out a message in tongues. Sister Tabor said, I knew it was God. I knew it was God. And my sweetheart, she lifted her voice above the din and the dive and all of the rest of the stuff going on. I'm telling you, so weak she couldn't only come to church. She shut that tabernacle down with a voice of power coming from her little voice. And at the drop of her voice, the interpretation said, I am in your midst tonight to deliver if you will come. I heard my wife say, he's done something to me tonight. I heard her say it. I heard her say it. He's done something to me tonight. And I'm telling you, I just felt that old lymph node and all them other nodes. I felt them straighten out and just lay down. And after service, they were still there. And I said, Lord, I thought you did something tonight. And that Spirit of God so chastised me for even insinuating that it had to be like I thought it was supposed to be. Listen, I wished you'd shout tonight, knock out the windows, and walk out of this church and have to remodel. But that is not necessarily what God wants to do in your life. Sometimes, and I'm telling you, I don't know what the Holy Ghost did for my wife that night, but just hearing her, are you getting this? Are you getting this? That there is somebody right now in this room. I'm going to show you. It's tough. I'm going to show you that there's somebody right here tonight in this house sitting just like I'm sitting right now. And this is all they have to do. Watch. Are you watching? I want you to watch. Illustrated message. This is all he's asking you to do. That's all he's asking. That's all he's asking. Leave your checkbook in the pew. He doesn't want your credit card. He don't even care what kind of car you drove. All he wants you to do is get up and come and give him a chance to calm your storm just like he has everybody else's storm. That's all he wants you to do. That's all he wants you to do. I'm going to shut my Bible. I'm going to shut my Bible. The other night I was at Thayer. Brother Tommy Tolliver, I wished I could tell you the story exactly right. And I lend myself to him rebuking me if I don't get it just right. But to the best of my knowledge, this is what he told. Brother Tolliver said, had a lady in the church, older lady, struggled financially. He said, she's faithful, she's kept coming. She struggled financially. She struggled. I got folks that struggle. She struggled financially. Brother Tolliver said that he even heard her praying one night, Lord, I just wished I could have a load of gravel put in my driveway. I mean, Brother Tolliver says she was a precious lady, just kept coming. He said she was too poor to afford a load of gravel, but she just kept coming. Just kept coming. You know, it's amazing. While some people are praying for big things, some people a load of gravel would make them have a great day. But she's just praying. One night, Brother Tolliver said, bad night. Everybody left. This lady was on her way home, and there was a terrible wreck. Terrible wreck. In fact, traffic was backed up. She knew it involved her house somehow down around the corner, but she couldn't get there. Everybody backed up. You know how the cops. You know, it's their time to put on their bulletproof vest and walk around with an AK-47. So they're standing out there. And one of them walks by, and she rolls down her window, and she said, I live right up here on the corner. Right, he said, that's where the accident is at, ma'am. You'll just have to wait. She's all right. You know, sweet lady. Me, same spirit there. Been just like her. Just sat there wait. Passively. In a minute, a man come walking up, knocked, tapped on her window, and he said, are you the lady that lives up here in this house? Yes, sir, I am. It's my house. He said, there's been a terrible accident up there at your house. And he said, nobody's hurt, but we've made an awful mess. He said, one of my semis didn't make the corner. It has a big load of gravel on it. And he said, it'd be cheaper on me if you'd let us just spread it for you. You need a load of gravel. You need a load of love. You need something to change in your home. You need to get a different attitude about your church. You need to quit spending your money frivolously and start paying your tithes. Now, it wouldn't take much to get another prayer line in here because we got a lot of folks with physical sicknesses. But I'm going to tell you, the rich young ruler, he wasn't physically sick. And Mary Magdalene, she wasn't physically sick. But she came and knelt at his feet, just like Bartimaeus came, just like the lady came at the well and turned around and went back to town and said, y'all come. Come. See a man that told me everything. Now listen. Listen. I ain't going to try to profess nothing to you about nothing. I am not on a grading scale tonight of preaching because personally, I have already given myself a failing grade and I'm very well able to lick my own wounds, thank you. But if you're sitting in this service tonight and you have a filthy, rotten habit that's tearing your life up from the inside out, if you'll get up right now, come down to this altar. God will meet you here. You've been praying about the baptism of the Holy Ghost till you've wore out everybody in the church. Don't come down here and bury your nose in that carpet and rake your nose across the top of it and look contrite. Come down here and tell God, I've tried everything within my own power. I'm just going to come down here and raise my hands and take you at your word. Look out. Look out. We've been blessed here to hear some preaching about holiness things. Brother Brent Gabber today preached on some holiness things. He even mentioned the TV word. Yeah, he even mentioned the television word. He even mentioned the television word. Now, let me tell you what I know. I know that nowadays things are getting so technologable that you don't have to sit home to watch it. You can have it on your hip. Type in Netflix or Hulu and watch anything you jolly well want to watch. And do it at Walmart. You need to come. That's what you need to know. You've decided, like a lot of other folks have, that this holiness thing is unnecessary. And at your first opportunity, you're going to abandon ship. Before you abandon ship, I wish you'd get up one more time and come down to this altar. And give God a chance to do what God's wanting to do in your life. Now, Father, I have been up here, I dare say, without looking at the clock longer than some people would have even appreciated. And for that, I wished I'd have had a little more wisdom. But I have been up here, Lord, from the very beginning of this service, the altars have been open. From the very first text, the very first words, all the way down to the last little story about a load of gravel. I've been trying to get somebody in this house. I've been trying to get somebody. They don't have to go change their wardrobe. I don't want them to get up and go change their hairstyle. I don't want them to get up and go change. I have just been up here trying to get somebody in this room to recognize how simple a request that you have made by telling them to come. How simple and how easy. From the children on the front row that can grab a hold of this to the grandmas and grandpas. How simple. How simple. How simple. Now listen. I'm not going to come back there to you. I'm not going to fire up 27 mile an hour songs. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand here in this pulpit and tell you that Brother Barnett said last night, and Brother Webb said last night, and Brother Brent said this morning, and Brother Barnett said this morning, and tonight in this service, Brother Webb has already made mention of it, and I have stood up here and made mention of it, that there is something in this service for you if you will scrape yourself off of that pew like bugs off of a windshield, step out into an aisle and admit that I have a need that I cannot make go away. I have a need that's going to have divine intervention. Would you come? If you knew you were going to get delivered right now, would you have enough intestinal fortitude to get up and come down to this altar? Would you? Would you? How hard is that? If you boys knew that you could miss hell by a few steps tonight, would you come? If you knew that you wouldn't have to make a tragic marriage mistake, young ladies, if you came down to this altar tonight and threw yourself in the presence of God, He would direct your path. Would you allow God to keep you from making a tragic mistake, even if He's already asked you? Even if they've already proposed? Would you take a few steps down to the front of this room and raise your hands if you knew God was going to work in your favor? Now, I'm telling you, this is absolutely the last call. I ain't even going to sell it out. This is the last call. If the only folks in this room is two or three people that had the intestinal fortitude to get up and say, I need something tonight. I need something tonight. I need something tonight. I'm not sleeping good of a night. I need something tonight. I need something tonight. I'm sitting on the edge of a nervous breakdown. I need something tonight. I need something tonight. I'm allowing my children to do things that I would have never allowed them to do 10 years ago. I need something tonight. I need something tonight. I need something tonight. I used to come to church with a thought because God had been on my life all day long. Now then, I can't even find anything to testify about. I need something tonight. Would you scrape yourself off that pew and come down to the front of this church and lift your hands if you knew God had the power to walk across the storm of your life, calm the winds that's blowing in your heart, and bid you come unto me. Bid you right now step out of that boat. Step out of that boat that you're in and walk toward me. Step out of that rut that you're in and walk toward me. Step out of that unhappy relationship and walk toward me. Step out of that rebellion that's in your heart. Not even kind to your mom and dad. Such a stinking spirit and such a stinking attitude. You treat your folks like they didn't even raise you. Like they didn't even bring you into this world. Step out of that boat and come. Step out. Step out. Step out. If it's bothered you, that the power of God is still available to blow the lid right off this church, and yet there's a few services around here that we've been aware of the fact that we needed a little more liberty, scrape yourself off that pew, deacon. Bring yourself off that pew, Sunday school teacher. Step out into the aisle and walk down. Be the catalyst for the revival of your pastor. Become the lightning rod. Lord, I want to come tonight to this altar and tell you that if you'll touch me with the fresh, hot coals of fire from off of the altar, I'll be a greater help toward my pastor.